discussed one verse, right, last time?
Yeah.
Some points you can... 70. Second chapter, verse number 70. So versus the person, a person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled but is always still, and alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. So what, here Krishna is talking about an analogy, right? So can somebody summarize what is an analogy?
Rivers and the ocean. So ocean is always full. So rivers either flood or they dry out. And irrespective of how many rivers flow into the ocean, it's always full. So like a devotee is always stable and is not getting disturbed or getting agitated by the flow of thoughts or desires.
On the contrary, it's not described here, but the pond, small pond, gets affected when the rivers flow in or it dries up. So similarly, a materialistic person, he goes ups and down based on what happens in his life, you know, whether the stock market goes up and down, then he gets affected like that. So actually, that reminds me, once Harivilas Prabhu was sharing, he had his uncle, he was very much into stocks. So whenever he sees his uncle's face, he can know what's happening on the stock market that day. So much it affects him. Like, so when he's sad, he knows that okay, stock market is not doing good. Otherwise, But whereas Krishna conscious person is always steady, irrespective of what happens to the material things. Krishna conscious person. So what are the other points we discussed? In the translation itself, there is a second part of the translation which is important. Last part.
Because he remains satisfied in transcendental.
Last part, like last.
The person is Krishna conscious, is happy in the service of the Lord.
The translation, last part of the translation.
So
who is a peaceful person? So devotee who is not agitated by the desires, he is the one who is peaceful, whereas a person tries to satisfy desires, how much ever he tries, he remains
unsatisfied.
So that's the two sides of it, right? So what is? So does that mean then, you know, a Krishna conscious person is without cares in the sense, right? You know, like he doesn't care about his food and this thing. So what happens to him? Like he doesn't... Krishna takes care, right? So he doesn't have to strive to fulfill his material necessities because Lord himself takes care of him, right? That's the... I want all of you to share something from your notes, whatever.
It's because instead of material desires, the devotee has substituted the material desire to service. So instead of the master service, it's not a negation. You are not saying no to material thing, but the substitution. So the because anyway the mind cannot be still, so it always needs an outlet, needs something to do. When say outlet, needs something to do. So by substituting the higher to the lower, eventually that becomes my habit too. It becomes, initially it's hard, but it becomes, once it becomes part and parcel of me, so then I won't think too much about doing it too, right?
So basically we are saying it's not that we become desireless or stop the desires, but we engage the desires in service of the Lord, right? We engage the desires. So that's exactly the definition of desirelessness, which Srila Prabhupada is going to cover in the next purport. Real desirelessness is to desire service of the Lord or to strive to satisfy the desires of the Lord. So we discussed about what is the ultimate desire of the Lord last time. What's the desire of the Lord?
For all of us.
So what's our part? What do we do?
We they ask for more service. That's what happens.
Yeah. First,
we try to go and like.
We try to purify ourselves to become perfect.
Yeah, and then also try to bring others,
as much as possible to Krishna. Okay, some more points. Want to share something?
Mataji, we talked about verse number
922.
Krishna provides devotees what they lack and what preserve what they have already
possessed. Yeah. So that especially applies, like for example, suddenly, let's say, like our spiritual master, if you are initiated, or let's say Harivilas Prabhu says, you know, you do this service. We may feel initially incapacitated, or we feel, you know, oh, it's too big, how can I manage this project, or how can I, you know, organize this festival. We may, but then when we, it's coming from that Guru, right? That means coming from Krishna, then we should immediately, we will get empowered actually. All we have to do is strive our best, we'll get the power to do it. So how? Because Krishna gives and provides what we lack. I was telling about telling, I was telling about the website, right? Once I was trying to do all this, yeah. So, okay, then some more points. Mathi, you want to share something? Raj Prabhu?
Okay. Rajesh. Desires are like fire. The more you feed, the more it increases.
So that's the last part of that, like, you know, a person who tries to satisfy doesn't have peace. That's the last part of the translation. Mataji, Madhi Mataji? Did you write anything in your notes?
No, it's fine.
Okay. Then we discussed about different types of people. They will not be peaceful, right? The fruitive workers. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama, right? A person who is fruity workers is a materialistic person. So salvation is a person who wants liberation, or yogi, a mystic yogi. All three of them, because they have material desires, they remain unhappy, right? But only a devotee is nishkama, Krishna bhakta nishkama, atayeva shanti. That he is the only one who is very peaceful. That's the verse quoted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And how is Krishna conscious person full? We talked about ocean being full, right? And here the analogy is the Krishna conscious person is full, right? That's why he's not being agitated. If he feels empty, right? That's when we try to acquire things, right? To satisfy ourselves. I feel like some lack, right? So, okay, I want to watch this movie, or I want to buy this, I want to do this, right? Because I feel empty. But a Krishna conscious person feels full in himself. That's why he doesn't feel a need for these other things to satisfy himself. So how does he become full? Or like, you know, what makes him full? He's full.
He's
satisfied in the service of the Lord. Yeah.
But the challenge with this is, you know, if you take a look at a fruitive worker, right? I mean, you almost, even in a professional environment, right? You try to get a promotion, you try to do those things, right? That is all fruitive. And clearly the desires are never fulfilled, right? I mean, you want the next level, or you want the next challenge or whatever. If you completely devote yourself to Krishna consciousness, and you know, if you say that is not that important, then you really are driving yourself towards, you know, like, some of the Prabhus we have come in, you know, who speak here and the discourses and all. You're giving away, you really are giving up all your work-related professional challenges and all that, right? So then, I mean, you do you do it just to the extent that you have to feed yourself and feed your family? Is that, that's the only goal, and the rest of the time it's fully in service?
So the question, underlying question you're asking for discussion is basically how to do work as a service to the Lord, right?
Right.
Or rather, you know, when we are at work, how do we connect that with service of the Lord? So, like,
no, there's another part to it. If you drive to get a promotion,
exactly,
or take on a bigger role or whatever, that takes a lot of work.
Yes.
is that something that you should even aspire for, or you should not even worry about?
So it's all
say,
about
a job.
Yeah.
Okay. Now go on with life and then spend the rest of the time in service.
Yeah. So essentially, connecting work as service to the Lord, there are multiple levels we can do it. Right? So the beginning, initially, basic level is that, you know, I need work for my maintenance in order to even, you know, feed my family, to go to temple, everything. I need minimally that work, right? So that's why I cannot just give up. That's at one basic level. Other level is, okay, I have some more money or something, I can give charity to Krishna's service, right? That's that. So I will not strive too much for promotion. My 9 to 5 I will do, and you know, within that rest of time I will do majorly service. Within that, if I get some money, I'll give. Otherwise, you know, my work itself could be my main service to Krishna. How? Because if I get properly promoted or whatever, right? And I can be a good example, right? As a devotee, I'm not a lazy person. At the same time, by engaging so much in work, doesn't mean my mind is I properly chant, so that when I go there, I just do my duty properly within that time, come back, do this. So that by that I am being a good example, that, you know, devotees are not like a person who are just like that, you know, do sloppy job in everything, but we are providing a good example. So so that reminds me of one incident which probably, you know, helps understand the situation. So one of our devotee friend, actually person who guided me in Krishna consciousness, so he came to Krishna consciousness, and then he finished his masters, he joined Microsoft, and then he came to Krishna consciousness. And initially, when we come to Krishna consciousness, we know, right, all this renunciation, all these things, we feel then, you know, what's the purpose of work, you know, I am not interested, it's so boring, or rather, you know, we don't feel any taste,
purposeless.
Right, yeah, purposeless, exactly. He feels, you know, real purpose is to, you know, attain love for Krishna. How is it connected? I don't want to work. So he is married and all. His wife was not working at that time. So he didn't want to work. He said, you know, I'll go back to India. I'll stay at temple. Both of us, you know, husband and wife, will stay in temple. And, you know, that's... Or rather, yeah, he was not yet married. He's going to get married. So, like that, he was thinking. But then, when they met the spiritual master, he said, you know, you do your work for me. I know, for me means like as a service for Krishna, as a service to Krishna. And with that, what does that mean is, like, you know, there are so many projects for Krishna, for propagating Krishna consciousness. So you can contribute whatever you can. So with that inspiration, he started working with so much, and that became his major inspiration, that actually he gets promotion every year. So much. But now, what is the driving factor? It's not that, you know, I will get promoted, I'll get more money. Not, but the driving factor is, I can make more money for Krishna. And by that, at the same time, you know, he didn't compromise on chanting, he didn't compromise it. You know, then, because we have the proper, so it's all about consciousness, it's not about the activity. It's always that, right?
That's a good point.
Yeah. So, if we are really sure that, you know, we are doing work as service for Krishna, then that means we have to obviously show to Krishna, oh, we can't, you know, namesake, do it, and then, you know, keep all the money in the pocket. They say, right, Krishna sees what is in the pocket, not what you put in the hundi. Like, he will come and put $1, but, you know, keep so much in the pocket. So of course, we should be guided, right? So, we have senior people who can tell us, you know, how to, at what level we can connect our work. And if we feel too entangled, we are not able to do it. At least in the initial stages, we need some amount of quality chanting in order to even do that work, maintain our consciousness during that work. At that time, you know, we don't need to go at such a high pace, right? First, let's stabilize our chanting, taking care of family, you know, services. You know, then when the quality improves, then the quality of work improves. So within that time, we will do more effectively. Because I was thinking, I was, you know, connecting myself actually, you know, initially how I used to work and gradually later on how I used to work. It's like so much, because we chant in the morning, you know, try to come to Mangalarti, chant and go, right? So quality, everybody else, you know, during the afternoon, they will be browsing this, browsing that, you know, or listening to this. I don't do all this. I just even like eat lunch and then again go back to do that work, right? So effective. And then I don't come back and do in the night or weekends, nothing like that. And I was doing very well in the... So it's all because, you know, when we... essential point is actually the quality of whatever we do is actually dependent on quality of our chanting. That's chanting, that's why so crucial. Rampad Maharaj always emphasizes this, always another does this japa retreats and things like that, right? So whatever we do, if we want to check the quality, right, we have to check it's equivalent to a quality of our chanting. Yeah. So hopefully it's okay, Prabhu. Like,
yes.
Yeah, so we are talking about truti workers, salvationists and the mystic yogis. All of them are not happy because they are, have unfulfilled desires. But whereas Krishna conscious person is desireless, or he doesn't have any materialistic desires, so he is satisfied. And also he is satisfied in service of the Lord. Because of having a higher taste, right? Okay, so we will start with today's verse. Krishna is talking about how does the Siddha Prajna get his determination, because last verse we talked about, you know, he doesn't get disturbed by this incessant flow of desires, right? So Krishna here is talking about how does he get this determination to do that. So we'll read the translation. A person who has given up all desires for sense gratification, who lives free from desires, who has given up all sense of proprietorship and is devoid of false ego, he alone can attain real peace. So these are all the qualities of the Siddha Prajna. These are the qualities which make him Siddha Prajna. So this also describes the qualities of a Siddha Prajna. Siddha Prajna is a person. What is Siddha Prajna? Is a person situated in steady intelligence. Or you know, the transcendentalist which Arjuna is asking about. So now if we read this, very Sanskrit words are so beautiful. So there are four qualities Krishna is describing here, right? One is nispruha, vihaya kaman, first one. Vihaya kaman means giving up material desires for sense gratification. So kama means, there are two meanings, right? One is sense enjoyment, right? Kama, right? The sense enjoyment. Other one is also work, kam, work. Usually people interested in sense enjoyment, no, they focus on work, no, so that they can get more money to get sense enjoyment. So kama, kam means sense enjoyment or work. Then so vihaya kama means giving up all desires for sense gratification. And the next one is nispruha. Nispruha means desireless, rather free from desires. So the real desireless means, we'll talk about, and Prabhupada is going to talk about in the purport, is actually he doesn't have any desires for material sense gratification, but his only desire, his desires are engaged in Krishna service. Yeah, that's what he lives free from materialistic desires. And nirmama means free from sense of proprietorship. Mama is mine, right? Nirmama means not mine. So he never thinks anything belongs to him. He thinks whatever comes, no, is given by Krishna for his service and uses for his service, Krishna service. He doesn't claim proprietorship over anything. And nirahankara means devoid of false ego. So So false ego means devoid of basically he doesn't identify himself with the body, right? That is one false ego. And he identifies himself as a servant of the Lord, and at the same time he also doesn't have any hankering for puja labha pratishtha, right? The profit, adoration and distinction. So these are the like little details about all these points.
What is the first one,
Sayyidina Mataji? First one is Vihayakaman.
No. The
puja
labha pratishtha. Puja means worship. Like we want to be worshipped, right?
Oh, okay, that way.
Like that way. We want, you know, somebody to put us in, like, you know, some stage and, you know, always talk about us like that, you know.
Pratishtha is also similar.
Pratishtha is, correct. Honor. Distinction, Distinction.
So what are these three? Actually, ego.
These are all related to false ego.
False.
These are all, if we have false ego, we need all these things, right? To boost up our ego, right? If somebody praises us, we feel happy, we feel very good, like that. Yeah, so it's all about false ego. But a person devoid of false ego, he doesn't know, like the ocean, he doesn't get agitated if somebody praises or you know, somebody dishonors, he doesn't care. But at the same time, we should not act in a way that, you know, we will get discredit, right? Or rather, you know, we will be dishonored. People anyway talk, some person says good, some person says bad, but devotee should always be a responsible person so that, you know, he gives credit to Krishna because he is representing Krishna always.
The stress on this one is on peace, and that was 66, which was last week with the Tasir Natal's Tasir Bhavna. Nacha Bhavetha, Chanti,
Tasir.
If one is not connected to the Supreme, can neither have transcendental intelligence nor judgment. Without which there is no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness? Krishna is saying you have to be peaceful to be happy. And this is how you can be peaceful. So it actually, in 66 he says you have to be peaceful. And in here he's saying, how can you be peaceful? Like,
Correct. Because earlier verse also he's talking about peace, right?
He says, how can you be happy without being peaceful?
Yes. So, and he's talking about how can you be peaceful.
And here he's saying, okay, how can you be peaceful?
Correct. Very nice.
But there is a lot of
You have very good way of connecting verses. Very nice for me,
I'm trying to see how there's other verses in the middle that are not really connected. Like, it's just... So this verse could have been next to the 66 verse.
So,
changing the history.
So basically here is talking about, you know, the connection we discussed. Actually, if you are interested, you know, there is a book called Surrender Unto Me. It's a book written by Srila Prabhupada's disciple. It's actually a book connecting, you know, how these verses are connected about Bhagavad Gita. So it's an appendix to Srila Prabhupada's purport, you can say. It's not substituting Srila Prabhupada's purport, but he talks about how verses are connected, you know, what's the theme of this set of verses. When we talk about, you know, this section to this section, this is the theme, we are discussing from there. So, no, especially because you are very interested in connecting verses, it may, you know, you may like it more. Like, you know, that way actually we go deeper into, you know, this understanding. So, especially from what I read there is that this verse is talking about the what qualities of Sita Prajna makes him really steady mind or steady intelligence or peaceful. What are his qualities? So that's the connection we got.
Quality is he doesn't get
carried
away by the
desires.
Those are the qualities.
Yeah, those are like, you know, that is his behavior, right? He doesn't get affected by the desires, right? But what makes him not get affected? Because satisfied service of the Lord. That's in the purport. So what Krishna is telling here is these are all his behavior. Like, you know, he has this. He doesn't desire for self gratification. He doesn't have material desires. He doesn't claim proprietorship or anything. He doesn't have false ego. Because of which He's peaceful and he doesn't get agitated. But to be all of this, he should be satisfied in service of the Lord.
Service.
Right? Yeah.
He has to replace it with something
else. Yes.
Supplement.
Yeah.
It's all kind of connected, right? One thing you start somewhere, then you see, okay, I'm getting a little peace here. Then you do a little more of it.
Exactly.
And then it's all more and little.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's all connected. It's not that one completely leads to another. Like you do one and then the whole thing comes. Like that. It's like little here, little. I mean, you do some and you get some. Like some means peace. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You do some service and then you study Bhagavad Gita and you get some peace. Then you started tasting that. That's better than watching 1 hour of TV or whatever. Let me do it. It doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes.
Yes.
But little more.
Yes.
Then little more. Then little more. Then eventually that will be given.
Yeah.
Given up.
Yes.
Then
so we are talking here about, you know, it's gradual. That's what you're saying.
Gradual.
Yeah. Yeah. It's correct. So gradually, because here it's a perfect person, right? That's why we should see, you know, Krishna is talking about transcendentalist, like, you know, the fully Krishna conscious person. We are not there yet. Right? So we have a path, sadhana bhakti, right? We have a path by which gradually we can come to this state where we can be peaceful, by which we can be happy. Of course, our goal is not to be happy here, right? But our goal is to serve the Lord. Okay, we'll start reading the purport.
But our goal is to serve the Lord, but to be happy. To find happiness in serving the Lord, right?
Yeah, but that's all we discussed last time, right? That's also a little selfish.
You serve the Lord and then you get the
byproduct.
Byproduct. Yeah.
That's right. Exactly. So what is
for happiness? Service and then you will get
so initially maybe like that. Initially we discussed, right? Four kinds of people come to Krishna. Well, which are four kinds?
For knowledge,
interior pain,
distress pain is same.
Knowledge,
to get intelligence.
Wisdom, knowledge. Searching. So distressed. Distressed, material for material wealth, and then for wisdom, and then other one is Artha Jignyasa. Last two are very close. Artha Jignyasa Arthatli Jnanicha Bartha Rishabha.
Why is distress, intelligence, and desire of wealth? That's what the four are.
Which verse is that?
No, it was 7.16. Who will go to Krishna?
Yes, 7.16. Artha Jignasir Arthati Jnanicha Bhartarshapa. That's the last part of the Chaturvidha Bhajante Mam. That's the verse. Yeah. Chaturvidha Bhajante Mam Jana Sukritano Archana Artha Jignasir Arthati Jnanicha Bhartarshapa. So it's a distressed desirer of wealth, inquisitive, and who is searching. So inquisitive is just curious. But still, you know, he is, you know, I want to figure out things. But one who is searching for knowledge, he is purer. You know, he is really looking for absolute truth. So the Krishna later on says, you know, that's the person he is the best. Because he is more pure. So these are, because all the other people also come to Krishna, but they are not pure. So when the desire gets satisfied, they may go away. So similarly, you know, if our motive to serve Krishna is to get happy, because bhakti can give happiness also, at certain point we were like, oh, my work is going good, my family is good, you know. Oh, this much is enough for me. Then suddenly something happens that, you know, that may increase our devotion. But slowly we should strive to, you know, I want to serve Krishna because I want to serve Krishna. That's all. If that is there, then whatever happens, you know, somehow or the other, we stay. Otherwise, you know, especially we talked about Maya, right? Maya is so strong that, so did we ever discuss about the effect of Maya and, you know, how it happens? Now, how it affects, how she affects the devotee, or, you know?
A little bit. Yeah.
So Maya Devi is Durga Devi, right? She is in charge of this material world, right? So we are here because we turned away from Krishna and it's like a prison house kind of thing, and she is guard. So she doesn't let anybody into the spiritual world who are not qualified, because we are just going to go and disturb Krishna. So that is her service. Right, to keep us busy here so that we don't disturb Krishna. So that's why she says, you know, Krishna, what the service I got, that, you know, I have to, everybody is helping you serve, but I am, you know, trying to stop people from serving you. So then the moment somebody tries to become Krishna conscious, you know, she wants to test also. No, is he really coming to Krishna for serving Krishna, or is he really coming so that, you know, he goes there and creates a mess? So that's why tests will come all the time. So that's why Maya is an energy of the Lord. She's very, very strong. And one individual, us, our individual soul, it's very difficult, right? Which words Krishna says, Maya is very strong, is it difficult to overcome, but who surrenders to me can easily overcome. Devyesha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratyaya Mama Meva Yai Prapadyante Maya Medam Tarantite. It's 9th chapter, I think. Let me look at the index, I don't know the verse number. Devyesha Gunamai, 7th chapter, 7:14. So here Krishna is describing about his material nature. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome, or difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered into me can easily cross beyond it. So Krishna is telling, you know, this energy is very, because this energy, right, very difficult to overcome. But what is the solution? But you surrender unto me. So Krishna is a Lord and Master. So he says, okay, this soul is surrendered. La Maya Devi, please, you know, relax. Don't bother. Then can cross beyond. So yeah, so that's how Maya also can affect. We want to become happy, we come to Krishna for being happy, then Maya Devi can say, okay, you know, you're happy enough. So that's why we need association like that, you know, so that we can keep.
What I meant was, though, I was thinking of the byproduct.
That's good, you know, it brought out some discussion. Okay. So we can start reading the purport. Mataji wants to start.
To become desireless means not to desire anything for sense gratification. In other words, desire for becoming Krishna conscious is actually
desirelessness. Okay, we can pause there. So here Srila Prabhupada is giving definition for desireless. So desireless doesn't mean, so there are two points here. One is not to desire anything for sense gratification. Another one is that desire to become Krishna conscious. And actually desire to become Krishna conscious also gives a desire for not have desire for sense gratification. So desire for becoming Krishna conscious is actually desirelessness. So this point, this word desire is very significant. So I wanted to listen to that lecture again, but I didn't get chance. So there is one incident, Srila Prabhupada's incident, where Srila Prabhupada was leaving from a place, in a car, was about to leave. Then suddenly one devotee ran to him, and then he came to the car window, and then he asked Srila Prabhupada, how can I become Krishna conscious? I want to become Krishna conscious, how can I? I want to become more Krishna conscious, how can I? Then Prabhupada said, desire. So Radhanath Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, he is very, very advanced disciple and devotee. So based on that word, he gave a lecture. It's called Cultivating Proper Desires. If you get a chance, please listen. It's a very nice lecture, where he talks, elaborates on that word desire and how that is a crux of Krishna consciousness. It's all about desires. It's all, because that's the, he was telling, you know, Prabhupada's answer was so profound. It's just one word, but it says the whole thing about Krishna consciousness. It's all about desire. Like, you know, whether we, because once we desire, do we know what happens in the interaction, super soul and everything? With the desire, super soul will guide us in fulfilling the desire. Then naturally things fall into place that eventually, you know, we will get there. So that's how it happens. So similarly, like, you know, if somebody wants to be a drunkard, right, he just have a desire for drinking, then automatically super souls guides him, like, you know, go meet these people, go, there is a bar here, and wherever he sees bars, right, and TV he sees that, he reminds of that, you know, then goes, it's all about desire. He just desires, you know, I want to drink, that's all. then there is a full path there so that you can become adulthood. And similarly, if I desire, you know, I want to become a Krishna conscious person, right, more Krishna conscious person, then gradually Krishna will provide path, you know, somehow you'll move closer to temple, or you know, you'll get association of devotees more and more, or you'll get more service if that helps us be Krishna conscious, or something or the other. It's about desire. So that lecture, if you can listen, it's very nice. When Maharaj goes deeper into this.
I think from one of that, I don't know whether I'm talking about the same lecture, but from On Desire lecture I heard long time. There was one nice example. Example was, there was one couple wants to cross the river, and that was evening time, and they go to that river, and there was one guy who was there. And he asked them, okay, can you drop us on the other side? He said yes. So both were in the boat. And he started rowing the boat. Mm. And they got a little nap, actually, for the evening time. And when morning came, they saw like we were still there. But the whole night he was rowing the boat. But they didn't reach anywhere. Mm. So they were a little confused. Then they found that their anchor was still into the corner. So what Radhanathan was telling, that anchor is our material desire.
Mm.
Even though you try to do any number of, like maybe any positive side work, like maybe you are doing surveys or anything, but we can move a little bit like this. The boat was moving whole night. We can do like this, but we cannot reach to the destination until we'll pull that anchor. Anchor is the material desire.
Mm.
So once we'll pull our anchor, means we'll leave our all material desire, then we can progress.
Mm.
Otherwise, we will not reach anywhere. I just remember that example from
very nice. Yeah. There is a similar thing about marriage party, same incident. It's okay.
Yeah, they want to reach to
the marriage party.
I just skipped that.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah.
So that couple want to go to the marriage.
So that's a very good point. We want to elaborate on this. So the point Prabhu was talking about is that, you know, we have to give up that, leave that anchor, right, in order to make progress. But we all start with material, we all come here with material desires, full of material desires, right? We are full of, because we come from there, right? And we want to reach the goal. But in order to reach the goal, we have to give up all of this. So, now how is it possible? We have to go through the journey to go there, right? So, the practical thing what we can do is, we should start not acting on those desires. That's the starting. We come with the desires, right? Eventually we want to come to the stage where we pull the anchor off. That means we don't have any desires, but we are not there yet. So what do we do in the interim?
Just
we should slowly, by cultivating higher taste, as by engaging, getting satisfied in service of the Lord, slowly we'll stop acting on those desires. Like, you know, I like to watch TV, I like to drink tea, I like to do so many things, right? So then, these are all the desires I have. But then slowly, if I'm being more and more satisfied in Krishna service, then, you know, I'll just, you know, ignore those desires for some time. Eventually, I'll come to the stage where I don't even have those desires.
Drinking coffee is the same thing as wanting a promotion. So this desire, why should we cultivate this desire and do it as a service to Krishna?
See, the point is, how do we connect drinking coffee to service to the Lord, right? If we can do it, then that's good. So somehow, so
I don't drink coffee.
But then if some other person will get drinking alcohol,
exactly.
Maybe I can connect.
So I'll share very nice incident, Srila Prabhupada's incident. There, so Prabhupada was telling, Krishna says, actually, you know, I'm the taste of water, right? Krishna says, if while drinking, if he says, you know, oh, this is Krishna, and he drinks, he makes spiritual advancement. Because he is not there yet to give up drinking, right? At least for him to remember Krishna while drinking, he is going to make progress. But at the same time, doesn't mean, you know, we all have to drink and keep remembering Krishna like that. Because the standard is different. Right? So, if you are addicted to drinking coffee, if you remember Krishna and drink coffee for some time,
you can look directly at me, but then nobody else. I am the only coffee drinker.
No, I am here too.
So, that's okay.
And I have a good example of Indriyani Pramathini, Arunthi Prasadam. So, actually, I gave up coffee for exactly 30 days.
Huh?
And one day I was really feeling tired. And like, I had a director review at 4 o'clock. Like, I was really sleepy and I couldn't just take it. Then I go and have my coffee. Then I'm like, this is good. Like I feel energetic at 3 o'clock again. Next day I go and have it again. This is, I mean, and after that I'm like, this is a good lesson for me. So, you know, it is. You know, you can't give it up.
Did you get any headaches through when you?
I didn't get any.
Oh man, I have terrible headaches if I stop.
So yeah.
I was very like at my 3 or 4 o'clock, you know, feel like you know, something, the energy is gone. So I
checked with the doctor and she's like, it's caffeine addiction, you're an addict
now, so you
can't go. And I drink hot, really dark black coffee. First, just before I came to Krishna consciousness for almost a year, right, my friend used to make this coffee. It was like more like a soup. You can punch that coffee and hurt your hand. That's how strong that coffee was. That I used to drink one or maybe two cups. I think that's when I actually became an addict and now I can't let go. I keep diluting it, then there's nothing. And then I start getting headaches and I have to sit. I have to really sit and I can't do anything. I just have to sit. So
sit and chant, I think.
No, if you sit, the headache, you can't do anything with it. It's like really very painful. So.
That's okay. You're sincerely trying, Prabhu. No, we'll pray that, you know, Krishna helps you. That's okay, Prabhu. No, everybody has something or the other very strong, right? All it takes is the sincerity, and that's what Krishna sees.
Coffee is probably
the
popular.
For
so
me,
everyone knows, but
for me,
there are
morning
so many
tea is, my morning tea is the same as Prabhuji. I can't let go, no matter what.
Yeah.
But I think what I'm trying to do is to actually reduce the, from this big cup to this big cup.
Exactly.
Coming down.
Yes. See, that's what they teach when somebody is addicted to smoking, right? They six, like, let's say they smoke 6 cigarettes. If you go to this, they have this centers, right?
Yes,
where they,
yeah.
What is rehab? What is that called?
Rehabilitation,
right?
Yeah.
So what they do, the training they give is, you know, reduce little bit. You know, now for so many, for 1 month you drink only 5 instead of 6. Gradually, you can't just immediately give up, right? So like that. So we are gradually trying. So why are we discussing about coffee?
Yeah, I don't know why you have the coffee.
Oh, I asked.
Yes.
The thing, right? The question.
Then I was telling about Prabhupada's example, like, you know, if you can connect, how do we connect coffee to drinking coffee to Krishna, right? Literally we can't do, because the acharyas have set us, you know, what is the one which is explicitly can be connected, which cannot be, because caffeine gives addiction, all those things. It's not beneficial for Krishna consciousness, so we should not be. But otherwise, you know, that's why elderly persons, they can guide us. You know, how do we connect certain things to Krishna? Some things are explicit no, don'ts. Like meat eating, all those things, explicit don'ts. You had something, Prabhu?
Yeah, different question. I'll take it when we are done with stuff.
Yeah. So explicit don'ts, we cannot connect to Krishna.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those things.
So, my question was, if you look at the earlier part of this chapter, so they talk about the super soul and the soul. Now, are both, you have a soul, the atomic soul. The super soul also exists in you, so they're two independent in every one of us.
Yes.
Two.
Yeah.
So
it's
like two souls.
There's two birds on a tree.
Yeah.
Two birds on a tree.
They go from tree to tree.
Yeah. Yeah. That's I don't know which we discussed that in earlier, right?
No,
which purport it was there?
21?
Okay. Let's see, Mother. Yeah, very nice, Mother. 22. Okay, we'll just quickly read this. Somebody can read it actually. Amit Prabhu, you can read this. The second paragraph. Transference of the atomic individual soul.
2.22.
Second paragraph. Transference of the atomic individual soul.
Okay.
Or it's okay, we can
Transference of the atomic individual soul to another body is made possible by the grace of the super soul. The super soul fulfills the desire of the atomic soul as one friend fulfills the desire of another. The Vedas, like the Mundaka Upanishad, as well as the
Sitasvatara.
Upanishad compare the soul and the super soul to two friendly birds sitting on the same tree. One of the birds, the individual atomic soul, is eating the fruit of the tree, and the other bird, Krishna, is simply watching his friend. Of these two birds, although they are the same in quality, one is captivated by the fruits of the material tree, while the other is simply witnessing the activities of his friend. Krishna is the witnessing bird, and Arjuna is the eating bird.
We can pause there. Yeah. So these are the, so in the same, so the tree is compared to a body. So as the birds switch the trees, which switch the bodies, but the super soul comes along with the soul, two different trees, and the eating bird is sometimes eating sweet fruit, sometimes eating bitter fruit, so experiences happiness and distress, like in the different bodies, but the super soul is neutral, and it's just guiding the soul according to its desires. Okay, so we can continue here. We talked about desirelessness. So Prabhupada talked about desirelessness. So then, Mataji, show Pamata.
To understand one's actual position as the eternal servitor of Krishna, without falsely claiming this material body to be oneself, and without falsely claiming proprietorship over anything in the world, is a perfect stage of Krishna consciousness. One who is situated in this perfect stage knows that because Krishna is the proprietor of everything, everything must be used for the satisfaction of Krishna. Arjuna did not want to fight for his own sense satisfaction, but when he became fully Krishna conscious, he fought because Krishna wanted him to fight. For himself, there was no desire to fight, but for the Krishna, the same Arjuna fought to his best ability. A real desirelessness is desire for the satisfaction of Krishna, not an artificial attempt to abolish desires.
We can pause there, Mataji. So here, Srila Prabhupada is giving example of Arjuna, right? It's the same thing about work we discussed. Initially, Arjuna didn't want to fight because of his own motive, right? Okay, I don't want to fight. What is in it for me, right? There is always, he says, right, I see loss in all cases. But later, he fought with full valor for Krishna. So same thing, Prabhupada is telling that everything should be done for satisfaction of Krishna. And again, another characteristic Prabhupada is telling about real desirelessness is that it's essentially the desire for satisfaction of Krishna, but not an artificial attempt to abolish desires. So if you want to, you know, go deeper, we can say, you know, desirelessness, and give all the points what Prabhupada is telling. One is, do not desire anything for sense gratification. Second one is, desire to become Krishna conscious. The third one is, right, desire for satisfaction of Krishna. And the fourth one is, it's not an artificial attempt to abolish desires. So all are connected, but if we can see, you know, how Prabhupada is elaborating on this.
So, not designing for the sense of gratification, right? That's the first one.
Yeah, first one. Second one is desire for becoming Krishna conscious. And the third one is desire for satisfaction of Krishna. Fourth one is, it's not an artificial attempt to abolish desires.
The living entity cannot be desireless or senseless, but he does not have to. He does have to change the quality of the desires. A materially desireless person certainly knows that everything belongs to Krishna, and therefore he does not falsely claim proprietorship over anything. The transcendental knowledge is based on one self-realization, namely, knowing perfectly well that every living entity is an eternal part and parcel of Krishna in spiritual identity, and that the eternal position of the living entity is therefore never on the level of Krishna or greater than him. This understanding of Krishna consciousness is the basic principle of the real peace.
So here Srila Prabhupada is telling that, you know, living entity cannot be desireless or senseless. So because desire is the intricate part of the soul, as you know, sugar is with the sweetness is with the sugar, or you know, saltiness is with the salt, right? It's very intricate. So similarly, desire is part of the, you know, it's integral part of the soul. it can never be desireless. So the only thing is, we have to change the quality of the desire. What do we desire now? That's the only question. That's the only thing we have to change. It's not about abolishing desire. And then Srila Prabhupada is talking about this verse, Ishavashyam Idam Sarvam. This is Isopanishad verse. Yat Kincha Jagatyam Jagat, where he says that, you know, a person, what is the translation? Tena taktena bunjita makrida kasya svidram. I know the Sanskrit, I don't know the... Yeah, Ishavashyam Idam Sarvam. So he knows everything belongs to Krishna. That is his consciousness. A person, then he engages everything in Krishna service. I think we can literally translation, we can read.
There is one verse in Shabdana before this, which is Purnamada, Purnamidam, Purnamudachate,
Purnamadaya,
Purnamiva. That's beautiful.
Very beautiful. You know the meaning?
It's basically Purnamada, Purnamidam. This complete. It's
anybody has a phone, we can just get the. It's very sweet.
If the Lord is complete,
it's a complete whole.
Complete
from
whole.
The complete whole emanates lot of complete holes,
complete
but still
whole.
He remains complete.
Still remains complete.
Yeah. So he's talking about creation basically. Everything from the Lord's pores emanate the universes, right?
Yes.
And the universes are self-sufficient. No, they doesn't need anything from extra to maintain themselves or, you know, continue the progress or everything is there, right? You know, water, fire, and it can sustain on its own. So it's full, basically complete whole. And so many complete souls are coming, but still Lord doesn't become empty.
Yes.
See, it's not like, you know, cutting some paper into pieces, right? Then paper is lost.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like that. So that's very, very beautiful. We can read the Sanskrit translation of the Ishavashyam verse also, if somebody can get access. In the meantime, we'll continue. So, Prabhupada is telling this. Oh, you got it? Ishavashyam?
No, Purnamadam.
Purnamadam. Yeah, Ishavashyam. It's, I think, before this only. Give. Got it, right?
Yeah, this is the translation.
Yeah. Of Ishavashyam verse.
Is it available in
the
different book or same?
Ishavashyam verse, I think it's the second one.
Yeah, second one.
Same book or different book? Ishopanishad.
You want the meaning?
Yeah, translation.
Yeah, everything inanimate.
Yes, Prabhu. This is not
the
Sanskrit. I'm not able to read.
No, you can.
No, the words.
Dialect
is not there. Everything animate and inanimate belong. It's that verse only.
Everything animate, you see, it's coming.
This much.
Okay.
Oh.
Should I get the Ishavashyam on that?
It's okay. Okay, so here everything animate and inanimate that is within this universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore
accept only those things.
Yes, Prabhu.
Which I have set aside as his quota, and one should not accept other things, knowing well to whom they belong.
Oh. So he knows that animate and inanimate belongs to the Lord, so he just accepts whatever is allocated for him.
Yeah,
and
this is first one.
Yes. Okay, so that's the verse Srila Prabhupada is quoting here. And this consciousness is based on, Prabhupada is saying, this consciousness is based on self-realization. So self-realization means, Prabhupada is defining here, that knowing that every living entity is part and parcel of the Lord, and therefore eternal position of the Lord is to serve the Lord. Yeah, so that's why the eternal position is never on equal level to Krishna. So Prabhupada here, if you see clearly, is defining what is self-realization. he is defining self-realization as knowing that every living entity is eternal part and parcel of Krishna. That means I also am eternal part and parcel of Krishna. And that eternal position of the living entity is to serve Krishna. Because Krishna is, nobody can be equal to greater than him. And if we have that consciousness, Prabhupada is telling, we can have peace. So what is the verse which talks about peace, peace formula? 5.29. So 5.29, Krishna talks about how to attain peace, right? A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me, is the ultimate beneficiary of all austerities and sacrifices. Sacrifice and all, and the supreme personality, supreme lord of all the planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of the living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material desire. It is misery. Okay. Okay, we can continue the next verse, so we can complete this chapter. Text number. It's too much?
Do we have time?
It's okay. We have time. It's 8:10 now.
We will complete next week. We can push exam to.
Yeah. No. That's assignment I got, so I have to finish this.
Okay. So, I don't say like that. So. That's what she's watching.
That's direction I got. No?
Mataji is very focused on exam.
Mataji will give you direction.
Prabhu told, right? You know, finish this chapter.
We'll ask more questions.
Because next week, Prabhu is going to ask Harivilas Prabhu to give a summary overview of.
Okay.
I think third chapter.
Second.
Previous.
Or maybe summary of second?
Summary of second, yeah.
Okay, I will ask Prabhu to ask that.
And then. Second.
Summary of second?
Then preview of third.
No. And then next week exam.
Mataji, no.
Okay, we'll discuss with Prabhu then.
Next week is not that. See, that's why you should never die.
Next to next week.
Just keep talking.
Okay. So, we'll read this verse, 72. Prabhu, can That is the way of the spiritual and godly life, after attaining which a man is not bewildered. If one is thus situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. So here actually in this verse, Krishna is summarizing the whole thing, whole chapter and whole section. He is saying that if one is situated like this, you know, with all this consciousness of free from desires, free from false ego, free from desires for material sense gratification, everything, and even at the moment of death, then
this is Ajamila verse.
Yeah, Ajamila.
Then one can enter into the kingdom of God. Ajamila verse. Why is it Ajamila verse?
Last second he.
Ajamila,
Narayana.
Yeah. So just before dying, he called Narayana, and he was able to, you know, enter the kingdom of God. But here. Yeah, so the goal is to be situated like this at the moment of death. In the other purport, Prabhupada talks about. Who remembers a verse related to this, similar verse Krishna talks about the moment of death? One's consciousness should be situated on Krishna, then he can enter into the kingdom of God.
Dayana, please.
Antakale? Antakale. 8.5. Of course, we didn't discuss all this, and I'm asking you to quote verses. Because some people would have heard lectures or something. Antakalecha mameva smaran mukpa kalevaram ya prayati samadbhavam yati nasti atra samshaya. And whoever at the end of life quits his body, remembering me alone, at once attains my nature, of this there is no doubt. So Krishna is telling, the moment of death, if he fixes, remembers Krishna, then what happens? We'll attain Krishna. Of this, there is no doubt. So the point is, we have to remember. Then somebody asks, you know, shortcut.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what you ask.
What's the question? What's the shortcut question?
No, I was about to ask you. In that case, at the end of the death only, we'll ask the, we'll say Nara Nara and you're going to go, right?
Yes.
How do you know when you're going to die?
That's one answer.
Another counter is not everyone is Ajamila.
Yeah, Ajamila is a special case. Especially to give the power of the holy name, to show the, you know, how the holy name is powerful. And what is the other counter? How to counter that argument?
At that time,
we'll
be thinking of something else.
Exactly.
About the attachment, whatever you got it, you will attach to that specific thing.
It's like, you know, the moment of death, it's somebody said, you know, it's like whatever we have experienced, whatever we have gone through, it's going to go like a camera roll going in front of us. It's like everything goes through. Now, that's what we are going to remember. So, whole life, you know, we remember and do so many things about certain thing. Moment of death, we can't remember Krishna. And especially, other argument is, moment of death is very, very
painful.
It's like how many scorpions biting us. Because of we are being pulled out of this body and so many attachments, right?
I have a question. If moment of death is painful, it also says in one of the verses, Krishna says, the recent one, it's like the one which we have to memorize, right? Kaumaram Yavanam Jara. So going from one body to other, it's like changing like that.
Mm.
So if it is like that, how is it painful?
Oh, he didn't mean to say that, you know, change, it's as easy as changing dress.
No, I understand. But he said that he because the way we got from being a baby, we became girl, and then we didn't even know that, right? The process we didn't even know. So that's the meaning I get.
That's not the meaning it's supposed to be.
One second, Madhuri. Maybe I think she's on the right track. Hear me out and tell me if I'm right or wrong. So the thing is that process itself is not painful. The pain comes because you're attached to all these. When I left India for the first time.
The more the attachment, the more pain.
Correct.
Yes.
So that's the kind of thing.
Not only that, physically also it's painful.
Yeah.
Physically also, you know, everything, you know, starts falling apart. So much pain somebody goes through. Sometimes somebody has cancer and they leave the body, right? Or everything falls apart. So physically also somebody experiences pain, right? And also through mentally, because of desires, attachments also, one feels pain, right? So that is there.
Physical pain.
That's why the meaning, when Krishna says that, you know, as we change, you know, as we grow from, you know, boyhood to youth to old age, similarly you change the body at the moment of death, right? That doesn't mean, you know, it's as easy as this or as transparent. What he means to say is that, you know, we are always changing.
Yeah.
That's the main.
Talk about pain.
That's what Mataji is asking.
I
don't know if I actually qualify because I never saw a light, but I was involved in a very serious accident. They thought I was gone also, and I also lost consciousness for quite some time. The pain I was feeling is completely something different. It's not that kind of pain. It's not physically tearing apart pain when you're hurt. It's a pain, but it's like somewhere else kind of thing.
Okay.
So,
I don't know. I didn't.
Yeah,
know.
I don't know.
Okay. So what?
We must have only experienced it half.
Yeah.
No. So.
Okay.
So
I think we'll try to finish this verse. So, the point is that to be situated in the moment of death like that, we have to practice the whole life. That's the counter actually. So we cannot, whole life we cannot do something else. See, imagine for example, whole day we keep doing work, or especially now I'm taking care of kids. So night in the dream I dream about, you know, taking care of kids. So if just one day it's like this, imagine whole life.
Radha Gopal Bhagavat says, life is preparation, death is examination.
So ours is actually art of dying, not art of living. We are preparing whole life. So the moment of death, now we can remember Krishna and go back to him. Okay. Okay, so we can read the purport, Prabhu.
One can attain Krishna consciousness or divine life at once, within a second, or one may not attain such a state of life even after millions of births. It is only a matter of understanding and accepting the fact. Katvanga Maharaja attained this state of life just a few minutes before his death by surrendering onto Krishna.
Yeah, we can pause there, Prabhu. So here Prabhupada is giving us, you know, such a guarantee. One can attain Krishna consciousness at once, within a second. So somebody asked, like one disciple came to Prabhupada and said, you know, how long will it take for me to become Krishna conscious? He said, just a second. So it's all about what Prabhupada is saying, what's the key? It's about matter of understanding and accepting the fact. How much we accept and understand, then that much, you know, we are going to make progress in Krishna consciousness. So the example Prabhupada is talking about here is Katvanga Maharaj. So I read about him, what happens there. So he was ruling the kingdom, and then demigods invited him to fight. He was very good king. Fight some demons. So he went, goes to the heavenly kingdom. He fights them off. Everything very good, and demigods were very pleased with him. And they said, you know, we are going to give material benedictions to you. But at the same time, he is internally, he knows his goal of life. You know that this life is a preparation for next life. So he was always focused, and he's doing his duty of fighting whatever as a king. So when they ask like that, then Katva Maharaj asked, you know, how much life is remaining for me? Then they said, you know, you just have 1 second left. Then immediately he leaves everything, the heavenly kingdom, all the precious everything. He goes, remembers Krishna, takes shelter of Krishna, and he perfects, attains kingdom of God. So he, that is an example of a person who perfects his life at the last minute. And Prabhupada in that purport, he was telling that, you know, he could be able to do that because he prepared the whole life. He never missed the focus the whole life. Whole life, he was able preparing for that. So that the last minute, he was able to do it.
So then how can we, like, in the last moment, he perfected his life. He has perfected his life throughout, right?
That's true.
He had been practicing. So
no, but he was able to, yeah, he was practicing, but he was able to give up in a second.
Knowing
that he's going to die in 1 second, he was able to give up everything in a second. Because whole through life, he was renounced.
Mm. So it's lifeline, like effort.
Yes.
Yeah. Nirvana means ending the process of materialistic life. According to Buddhist philosophy, there is only void after completion of this material life. But Bhagavad Gita teaches differently. Actual life begins after the completion of this material life. For the gross materialist, it is sufficient to know that one has to end this materialistic way of life. But for persons who are spiritually advanced, there is another life after this materialistic life. Before ending this life, if one fortunately becomes Krishna conscious, he at once attains the stage of Brahma Nirvana.
Okay, we can pause there, Prabhu. So here Prabhupada is elaborating on word Brahma Nirvanam, right, in the translation, in the Sanskrit. Last line, Brahma Nirvanam Ichati. So that means he attains the spiritual kingdom. So Prabhupada is telling here that for Buddhist philosophy, you know, completion of material life, it's just empty after this. There is nothing. But for us, actual spiritual life begins at the end of materialistic life. So that's when our real life begins. Then, so related to this Brahma. So this verse about Brahma, situated in Brahma Bhuta, there is a verse called Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma, where Krishna talks about a person situated in Brahman, his qualities. 1854. So one who is thus transcendently situated at once realizes Supreme Brahman, becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires for anything. He's equally disposed towards every living entity. In this state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. So here Krishna is talking about the qualities of one who is situated in Brahman. That he becomes fully joyful, doesn't desire for anything, and he is equally disposed towards every living entity. So that is this Brahman realization state. But for us, we don't have to wait until the end of death. No, death to be Brahman situated. We can be in this life itself. That's what Srila Prabhupada is going to elaborate further. How can we be transcendentally situated while being in this body? We don't have to wait for changing the body.
Then what is the correlation of this Brahman and transcendentally situated in this body?
So,
I mean, why are we comparing with the Brahman?
So, Brahman means it's a Brahman realization, right?
Brahman means like is effulgence we are talking about.
So actually, Brahman means three things: soul. It also means super soul. It also is the effulgence. There are three meanings. So Brahman Nirvanam, or you know, that's basically means actually self realization, or being situated in Brahman. That means spiritually situated, right? Being situated in Brahman means spiritually situated. So spiritually situated, we can have even in this life.
What translation says the spiritual kingdom of God?
Spiritual kingdom of God. So if you read the last section of the purport, it will be very clear how while living in this body, we can attain the kingdom of God. We need not be there physically, but still we can attain. We read this. Last section of the purport, there is no difference between...
Same
7.72. There is no difference.
Yeah, there is no difference between the kingdom of God and the devotional service of the Lord. Since both of them are on absolute plane, to be engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord is to have attained the spiritual kingdom.
Okay, so we got this right. So Krishna is absolute, so kingdom of Lord and service are non-different. So just by being engaged in service of the Lord, we are already attained the kingdom of God. Okay. We can continue.
Okay. In the material world, there are activities of sense gratification, whereas in the spiritual world, there are activities of Krishna consciousness. Attainment of Krishna consciousness even during this life is immediate attainment of Brahman. And one who is situated in Krishna consciousness has certainly already entered into the kingdom of God. Brahman is just the opposite of matter. Therefore, Brahmi Sthiti means not on the platform of material activities. Devotional service of the Lord is accepted in the Bhagavad Gita as the liberated stage.
Sagunam samati jaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate.
Therefore, Brahmi Sthiti is liberation from material bondage. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur has summarized this second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita as being the contents for the whole text. In the Bhagavad Gita, the subject matters are karma yoga, Jnana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. In the second chapter, Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga have been clearly discussed, and a glimpse of Bhakti Yoga has also been given as the contents for the complete text. Thus end the Bhakti Vedanta purports
to the
second chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam Gita in the matter of its contents.
So here Srila Prabhupada is telling, like, you know, Brahman is that effulgence, right? But what Brahman means is actually, it's basically we are not on the material platform. If we are out of this material platform, then we are situated in Brahman, right? Transcendentally situated. So that verse, Sagunan Samati Tyaitan, it's 14.26. If anybody wants to, you know, just write down.
Which one is that?
That verse in the purport, 14.26.
I
One who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. The same thing Krishna is telling, that if one engages in devotional service unfailingly, then he is at once situated in Brahman. So we don't have to die or we don't have to become a spark to be situated in Brahman. Even in this life, if we are fully engaged in devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, then we just transcend the modes. And we become transcendently situated. And second chapter is considered the summary of the whole Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna touches on all the topics, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Bhakti Yoga. That's in the second chapter. So, any more points or discussion?
So, what if possible, how does the four questions, like how does he
sit,
how does he sit, how does he speak, what is his language, and how does he walk? How are these four questions answered, like, and what is the equivalent, like, there was a translation of that, so I forget what.
So how does he, we discussed, right? Okay, I will, let me try to. Okay, so in 2.54, Arjuna asks four questions, right?
Yeah.
What are the symptoms of one who is situated in transcendence? How does he speak? What is his language? How does he sit and how does he walk? So symptoms are characteristics, right? And then the next one, how does he speak, means it's his behavior. And how does he sit means, how does he not engage his senses. And how does he walk means, how does he engage his senses.
Symptoms is
what is his characteristics or, you know, characteristics. And how does he speak is what is his behavior. So all these things are given in that book, Surrender Unto Me. And how does he sit means, how does he not sit means idle, right? So he does he not engage his senses. How does he walk means, how does he engage his senses. So now I can just give these, we already discussed earlier, I can give the verses, rest of the verses which answer these questions, because Prabhu is asking. So verse number 55 covers the first question, symptoms. And 56 to 57 maybe you can, what I do is in 54th verse, whenever that question is there, I just write down there, these verses cover. So 56, 57 answer the second question. How does he speak? That means what is his behavior? And 58 to 63 covers how does he not engage his senses? And rest of the chapter, that 64 to 71 covers how does he engage his senses?
Can you repeat the question?
Verse number 55 is symptoms. Symptoms.
Samadhi,
basically, I am looking at translation.
Samadhi sasekesham,
right? So. Symptoms.
Right?
You can look at the translation.
Okay.
Symptoms, right? What are the symptoms of one who is situated?
Symptoms
is 55. And in the second line, there is how does he speak, right?
That is
56 to 57. And the third one, how does he sit? That is 58 to 63. And the fourth one, how does he walk? Is 64 to 71.
So how does he sit is engages?
How does he not engage his senses?
Not engage his senses.
How does he walk means, how does he engage his senses? How does he speak means, what is his behavior? Symptoms are characteristics. So actually those also I written down here in the same verse. So that answers the rest of the chapter, rest of the section. Actually, we did not read now, but there is very nice summary of the whole Gita and chapter-wise summary also. This Prabhu from Bhaktivedanta Manor has summarized it. We are supposed to read it. I think we didn't have time. Maybe I'll ask Prabhu to forward this. So he just summarized the whole Bhagavad Gita, whole chapter with an acronym called Gita. So it's all about Guru, G for Guru. That's the first 1 to 10 verses where Krishna, Arjuna surrenders to Krishna as Guru, right? And then I is identity, where the verse number 11 to 30, Krishna talks about soul, you know, what are the characteristics of soul, what's the behavior, all those things. And T is two duties, 31-53, what are the two duties? I didn't read this more in detail. And A is Atmarama, which is the last section, where Krishna, Arjuna is asking about the self-realized transcendentalist, what are his characteristics or what is the behavior. So I'll ask Prabhu to forward this. If you want, you can read this. Okay, so we'll just chant one round of Japa.